Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello and welcome to episode 597 of LeagueCast Podcast. I am Nick Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Rockarts.
Hey, how's it going?
And Colton Sweat.
It's the end of the first split.
We did it. We'll talk about it. But we've got a couple of new patrons this week. Some LeagueCast news that's pretty exciting. We've got a new patch. We'll talk about the end of rank split 1 and what that means for rank split 2. And then we'll probably just go into maybe guaranteed guffaws, but we've got a lot of stuff to cover. So probably just into roundtable and then mail fight. Aiden, how was your week?
Mike was good. Finished up the ranked season, ended with my main account in master 220, my Smurf account master 80, and then my third account, I was in series to master and dodged some games because I was trying to do some last minute doing, so I think I ended like D150 or something, but it has like a 68% win rate or something, which is pretty crazy. It makes me feel good that I can kind of just do it over and over and over again. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. Outside of that, not a lot of League. Also, not really planning on playing a lot of League for like the first week of the rank reset. I kind of want a bit of a break. It's only a 1 day break, which is It feels like if you're fucking following Riot's like Riot system and you're like beholden to like their dates, man, you don't stop playing League of Legends. Which I know
you
got a
break
in
the off season and that's it.
Yeah. So I'm gonna make my own little break because I'm not beholden to that. So
that's a good time.
I think my current plan is to take a break until next Friday on the 28th. And then I think I'm going to grind a lot. Like that weekend is my first starting weekend of ranked.
Okay. Are you planning to grind our challenge first? Or
that is all
first?
I'm planning on playing. I'm planning zero games on my main, like in ranked until like midway through the split, I think.
Okay. That's fair.
But yeah, that's kind of my goal. We can talk about the mid lane challenge a little bit. Talk about that for like 5-10 minutes like later. But outside of that, it's been good. I'm excited for this new patch. I'm excited for the new game mode, which I'm sure we'll also talk about in the patch notes. It was a fun split, though, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Nice.
What about you, Colton?
So solo queue, I didn't really play any this week because I was just camping at the bottom of master to get my rewards and avoid any chance of me demoting and having to play 90 games in 3 days trying to get back.
Did you finish the lowest ranked master player on the North American server?
I did. I'm the only guy with negative LP right now.
No one can do it like Colton.
Nobody can do it except for literally everybody who's at 0 points could dodge one game and
yeah.
They won't though, because they're cowards, unlike you.
Yeah, they're afraid to go negative because they don't. I know I can win it back. That's why I take out loans to go gamble. In flex queue, I ended D1. Got into series, played out the series with Aiden, and got some nice Chinese booster teams where they boost their challenger accounts playing in plat lobbies because you can do that in flex because it's a well-designed system that's working.
Yeah, it's sad. It's just not fun when that's like 50% of your games is like playing against people like that.
But and then the other 50 are just like you stomping people who don't.
I think it's just low quality. It's either one team just gets like way like higher ranked players, and then that team wins.
Yeah, right. Like it's, I don't know. It's a wild queue. Like I think for as tilted as I was, and like a lot of the takes I was making were kind of joking, in that like you can't like deleting the queue or like a simple Band-Aid fix isn't going to do anything. I do think probably 1 in 5 games in flex is actually like decently balanced and well match made, because I think like the other 4, 2 of them you're going to stomp and 2 of them you're going to get stomped.
Yeah.
Which only having 1 in 5 games when games take like 30 plus minutes be competitive is not fun. Mm-hmm. But that's about it for League of Legends. I don't know if I'm gonna be taking like a huge break. Obviously, when we talk about mid lane challenge, that's gonna be probably more of a priority than solo queue rank. Mm-hmm. But I guess we'll see how tilted I get doing that. If I get if I'm enjoying it, I'll grind a bunch of games in mid. If not, I might go back to playing on main. But that's about it for me. It's been hot as fuck here in Texas, and I'm sure Nick, it's been hot down there too.
It's been hot as fuck literally everywhere. This is, I don't know if you guys knew, this is the hottest July so far recorded in the past 100,000 years. So
nice.
Very poggers.
It's because they released Melio and he keeps putting fires everywhere.
Yeah, Fuemigo.
There's too many Fuemigos. increasing the heat. But yeah, that's it for my week. What have you been up to?
So I can't remember. I think I played last week. Yeah, it was last week that Aiden boosted me to Masters. So just hung out. I had 3 games to play, but I decided to kind of treat this as a little week-long break. I don't even know if I played any league since hitting Masters. Not even like ARAMs until last night with you, Colton. So
Dan, you were popping off.
Yeah, I had a 35 kill Lucian game. It felt really, really good. But yeah, I guess you know, finished Masters, 1 LP. What else? I guess it took me, I think, just under 200 games to get there. I was only 2 games above 500, so pretty close. But overall, like there are definitely some things that I didn't like about the season. I still think, well, for the most part, I thought like Enchanter reactive supports were still way too strong compared to like proactive playmaking supports. But yeah, I mean, I guess like overall it was fine. I don't think there were too many like OP champions, which is kind of nice for how long the split was.
Are to you guys give them looking... credit, I think Sorry, we are like at the point where now we're like melee supports are as good, if not better, than Enchanter like range supports right now.
Yeah,
like,
so I think
we're
like
finally at that point. It just took forever.
Yeah, I guess I should have like phrased it a little better. I do think like it's gotten better, and it's not even that like it's like ranged Enchanter supports. It's just like more the reactive play style. Like I know Braum's been seeing a lot of play in LEC. And I would classify him as a pretty like reactive
character. Yeah.
Character. Yeah. I do think it's definitely better, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of it for my ranked experience. I don't think I'm going to take like a big break like Aiden, but I don't have a ton of time, so I'm not gonna be able to like, I don't know, dump 200 games in the first 2 weeks. But excited to play overall. It's going to be really fun. Very looking forward to it. Do you guys have any plans for like how you're going to approach it champion wise?
Do we want to just jump right into that? Or want, can I
think we should.
League Cast news and then we'll jump into it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. League Cast news first.
Yeah. So new patrons. We got 2 new patrons. Conturl, CTURL, one of those two. And then Feast Forever. Both people in our Discord. Awesome. Thanks for the support. Appreciate it. And then only other League Test news is that the coaching initiative thing has finally launched, that took fucking forever to pair people up, but I think people are very excited. So hopefully that sees good results, because I mean, at the end of the day, I don't even care if people go up rank. I just want people to find more connections in League of Legends. 'Cause that's something I very much value, is like playing with people who you like, enjoying the game, whatever, and then B, having or at least developing a drive to get better at something, even if it's something as simple as League of Legends, right? I think those are two core things that I hope people take away from it. So
yeah, I think one of the coolest aspects is that I think for us back in the day, it was like, you know of a high elo person, you're like, holy shit, like they're so, I'm not gonna say like cool, but you know the feeling, right? It's like, wow, they're like, I don't know, like, I guess I am gonna say cool, but like, there was this one guy really cool in the game.
Mm-hmm. Where Trevor and I used to play normals all the time. We fucking ran into this one guy, Dak Oneness, darkness, if you will, and he was a platinum player, and this is like season two, and he took us under his wing, and we played with him and his friends all the time, because he's platinum, he was super cool. Uh-huh.
But yeah, so I think like even just having exposure to someone that you normally wouldn't be able to play with would be really, really cool, and a really, really good learning experience. I've already seen it. It actually was insane, the amount of activity that was going on in the channel that you made.
Yeah,
the amount of people just reaching out to their mentors or to their students.
Yeah,
was really cool to see.
And the only other thing I wanted to mention, just like also LeagueCast related, is if people want people to play with, our Discord has been popping off recently. I did community games like every Thursday night, sometimes multiple nights a week for like a couple months, and it was really, really awesome. And then I stopped doing them because I really just wanted to take a break from League. And people have filled that void by just playing games together, whether it be like Flex, normal games, ARAMs, community, in-houses, almost every single night
in
our Discord.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So if you're ever looking to play games with people in Discord, like a like-minded group of people, just pay attention to the Discord. There's almost always people in there playing games.
Yeah, or pay attention to the community games channel, and that's where people will post if they're like looking for like that group of people to play. And honestly, like, just hop in and introduce yourself. Like, hey, I'm here for the games, and I promise you, you'll be the first in line. Like, people love getting new people in there, and getting them in the games to
everyone's super awesome, but rotating people in and out and stuff, mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah, so cool. They learned it from Aiden.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, so let's talk about the mid challenge.
Yeah, so just a quick update for those who don't remember, Nick Colton and I are doing a challenge where we try to play mid lane and see how high of a rank we can get. The caveat being, we selected a pool of characters. Those characters are as follows. They are right here, Akshon, Vladimir, Diana, Silas, Aurelion, Sol, Anivia, Malzahar, Lissandra, Rumble, and then we all got a character selected by the community. My character was Cho'Gath, Colton's character was Azir, I believe, and then Nick's character was
Yasuo.
So those are our characters that we're allowed to play, and we'll discuss what's going on.
Yeah, so I think first up, should we establish any, we've talked about this in private, but should we establish any rules for adding new characters / removing old characters from the pool?
So I don't think we should ever remove characters, just because okay. I think it's like one of those things where, first of all, for you, if you buy a character and then someone goes, I don't really want them, it feel bad for you. I think we can consistently add characters as we like want. There's already a character that I fucking want to add, so we can do that as soon as possible. Actually,
are you gonna add Nefiri?
No. That doesn't fit my pool. Oh, that's an assassin, Nick. I play characters back, wave clear, and don't interact.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Zillion.
No. We'll get to it if we ever want to add it. I'll add it. I think the biggest thing to talk about is like time frame, right? Like, do we want to do a monthly check-in? Do we want to do, like, for example, I think that we should do on like a monthly basis. Like, you have 1 month to play up to 100 games. Like, over 100 games is like too much because none of us can keep up with that. You know, if someone really wanted to grind lord it. So I think 100 games a month would be like the max. You know what I mean? That we should like play to give ourselves all like at least a fighting chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is fair.
I think that's fair. Are you okay with that, Colton?
Yeah.
This is a direct nerf to the Colton strat.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that like I would have to play more seriously for the 100, and then after I finish that, I'll just like write down whatever my rank was and probably continue.
Yeah, it's just more the fact that I think Nick's going to play the least, and I think it would be crazy if like Colton or I like decide that we just want to go sicko mode and play 200 games.
Which, like, at the end of the day, this isn't like a serious competition, so who cares? But, you know, it would be nice to have a little more parity for me, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Very selfishly.
I think that's fair, though. It also keeps us in check if we want to play the other stuff as well, so we don't feel like we have to grind and keep up. It's cool.
So on that note, I guess I think we should just do a little like weekly update, just a quick little, you know, thing. If somebody has, you know, bigger news for the week, like, oh, Aiden, you hit Masters in 32 games on Malzahar. You know, we can talk about that for a while, but otherwise it'll just be like, you know, hey, hit this rank, you know, still playing X character. It's working for me or it's not working for me or whatever.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I think that'll be good. Do we want to add a new character every patch?
We could do that.
Like, what if we all vote on one character to be added?
I think I want my character added 100%, though. That's my issue. Because I already got a skin for her on my account that I leveled.
Yeah.
And it's an ultimate skin.
It's an ultimate skin. Is it Seraphine?
And I love her.
It's Seraphine. Okay.
It's Seraphine, yeah.
It's Seraphine.
Dude, she fits my pool so fucking well. That shit's the shit that I play.
She really does. Okay. Yeah, maybe that'll be our first one. We'll go ahead and do that. I'm okay with Seraphine. She's cool.
I'm totally fine to continue adding characters to the pool. I think, again, is maybe we just like have a conversation each show on like where we're at, if we want to add, if we want to change things.
Yeah, we could have a suggestion, then we could just like agree on it. I feel like that's fine.
Yeah. Sounds good.
The one thing I did feel like we need to iron out is, and I think we kind of already did, I messaged Aiden, was like, when we say the number one win rate character, we need to make sure we're using like the same website and the same filters.
Yeah, that was the other thing, is we're also allowed to play the number one win rate character on the day using U.GG's Plat Plus metric.
Which is their default, just, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there's definitely issues with that like system, because all of us don't have infinite IP, but like I still think it's like a fun, goofy thing that I don't think we're usually going to take. Blue Essence. We're not usually going to take advantage of it. I think it's a cool idea that like if like Nico was like super OP for like two patches or whatever, in theory you could buy her and play her, like, which I think is cool.
I mean, this is just straight up the Kassadin clause, right? Like, that's what we should call it. If Kassadin's OP and the number one character in the game, we should all be able to play him, because we don't want to add him to the pool like hoping that that happens, right?
Yeah. No, I think it's a cool rule.
Yeah. But if Kassadin's playable, you know, we should all have the chance to do it. Which currently would be Swain, by the way. Swain mid.
That's sick, actually.
Swain mid.
I've been playing Swain.
Cool. I think that's... I mean, is there anything else we wanted to talk about this? I guess it officially starts tomorrow at the time of recording. But yeah, I'm not sure if anyone will be actually like playing games then.
One other thing I think we should have some stuff around is if you're trying to play mid and it pushes you off roll.
Or what are we queuing up secondary? Is that, I think we just all queue like the same thing. Should we just queue top and then play mages top?
I think top's probably, so top's going to result in the most games played mid. That's like the biggest thing. I think like the other one is support, but I think what the issue with queuing support is, I think you're gonna get 50-50 on like what you're getting out of the two, which is less ideal. I do think queuing top and then playing mages top is ideal, and then if you get autofilled, I think you can just play like a regular, you don't have to dodge an autofilled game. But, like, if you get filled jungle AD carry support, I think you can just play a character, you know what I mean? You're not gonna get
you just try hard.
A significant amount, you know what I mean? You can dodge if you want, but
without like throwing the game for your team.
Yeah
I think that's fine. I don't think anyone's going to be, like, abusing the system. It's not... I mean, it's not like we're playing for money or anything, like I said.
You're not playing for fucking pink slips.
Yeah.
No, I've created a full underground betting situation for this with all of our listeners. It's in a secret thread that you guys can't access.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Who do you have money on? Who do you have money on, and why is it Aiden?
Oh, I have money on me being last, because that's the only thing I can control.
Dude, it's so funny. I was talking to Kennedy about it, and she's like... It sounds like you guys are all just like she didn't use the term jawning, but like I don't know what the term she used, but it sounds like you guys are all just like making like
just making reasons for
like, because I was telling him like, oh man, I think I might be the underdog because like I play the least mid out of everyone. She's like, but you're also the fucking highest elo.
Yeah.
And then she and I'm like and then I was like talking about it, and she's like she's just like, it sounds like every single one of you is just making excuses for why you might be last.
It's so fun. I think we're all joking. I don't think we're actually like, I don't know.
I mean, I don't think any of us care for last or first.
Yeah. It's it is funny though that we're all like old, we got old reliable ready.
Yeah.
I was lagging. It's not my patch.
And I guess the only other thing would be like duo queuing. I'm not personally going to duo queue any games. I'm not planning on it, but like I also don't think it's a huge deal if anyone wanted to.
I don't care.
As long as you're not like fucking like trying to like be weird about it. Like the whole point is to be
I'm
have fun.
Duo queue the whole time with a fucking Masters 300 point jungler.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, but I also don't think we're going to do that because it's not a big deal and it's also not serious anyway. So
yeah, I think, I mean, it's just supposed to be fun and to, I don't know, spark some competition. So
yeah,
it does not matter to me.
Cool. I think we're good then.
Hell yeah. Should we get into the patch then?
We sure should.
Patch time? Hell yeah. 13-14.
Let's go.
Mid-season ranked reset. So the season has ended, I believe, for everyone, right?
Yes.
Barring like maybe, I don't know, tiny servers that we're not familiar with. And patch 13-14 is coming. So along with this is going to, oh, and the split 2 starts tomorrow, I believe, for the majority of servers, the 19th. So pretty, pretty exciting. Along with this patch comes a new game mode, 2v2v2, aka arena mode. So I think like we've talked about this at length, but I do think there was a little bit of news that came out today if we want to quickly mention that.
Yeah, it's at the bottom of it. The gist of it is that they're making it so you can't see augment win rates on different like stat websites. So they're
yeah,
Mobilitics, API access,
Professor, stuff like that.
Very similar to what they also have done with TFT in this patch. You're not allowed to see augment win rates. I think that we talked about it a lot, but some people are mad about it. Some people are fine with it. Obviously, the TFT discourse is a little bit different. I'd say the majority of high elo players are mad about TFT removing augment win rates. I think it's a difference, though, of A, it was already in the game. It's being taken yeah. away rather than not added in this case. And then also, I think for TFT, it does probably suck if you play it competitively or play it at a high enough elo that like it's a competitive game where you can't physically play you can't play every single comp with every single augment and then for yourself figure out what's good or not. Mm-hmm. Versus like for this game mode, it's supposed to be a fun game mode where in theory you shouldn't be trying to like only play the highest win rate stuff, right?
Yeah. So I think I'm personally excited for it. I would love to see like what innovation comes out of this and if it trickles over into Summoner's Rift. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily anticipate that it will, but maybe we'll see some like really really cool combos that people are realizing like, oh shit, like actually I don't know, Darius Yone is super super good, or like I've seen a lot of Alistar actually in the PBE content, so maybe I don't know, stuff like that will come up.
Also, just to give context of like what augment like stats would look like if people don't play TFT and don't use overlays. If you have like Blitz app, for example, with TFT until like this current patch, when you're on the augment page, like you have a reroll, so you get to reroll your augments. It will just show you the win rate and the top 4% of the augments that are currently on your screen. And it's like, could you imagine that for TFT where like, because it could just work for 2v2v2v2 where you're playing Alistar and it just on the screen right in front of you because you have an overlay shows you the percentage, like top win percentage, top 4% and overall win rate of the augments that are there. It's like, dude, I think it's just such a bad thing for the game, so I'm glad they're removing it. Like that,
yeah,
that's
just
so good.
It just sucks because like then some augments just get picked 0% of the time and some have like inflated picks.
I just want there to be thinking about the game. I just think like it's good to like look at those and be like, oh, this is really cool, like
yeah.
I wonder if this works like this.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, one of the things that I'm excited for is, Aiden, every single time I see Chauffeur, I pick Chauffeur, right?
It doesn't matter the character.
It doesn't matter the character. It doesn't matter the combo. Like, I'm playing Yumi, but on a different character. So I think, but I imagine that, like, that augment has a really, really low win rate compared to some of the other ones.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Interesting, yeah. I believe with the pass, there's a Samira like little mini game coming out.
It's like an in-client mini game. Yeah, it's the first time they've like updated their tech for this. I expect it to run like shit, but if it runs well, it looks kind of cool. It looks fun.
I don't even know if it will like have the chance to run like shit because it looks so like, I don't want to say low effort because that's not like what I mean, but it's not like groundbreaking visuals and things like that. Like it's, I don't know, it's 2D animated stuff.
It's the most intense thing they've ever done with the client, though, I guess. It's
that's
like
fair.
My,
in
like,
the client, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it runs well. I think this is a way more fun way of like implementing a kind of like, not story-based, but like a addition to like the current ongoing event rather than like a visual novel where you click through it and stuff, right?
Yeah, is this now is this something that's going to be like an actual game that you play, or is this like...
Yeah, it's like a almost like an in-game like kind of fighting game where you like hit button combos and stuff. Like it looks like it's still pretty basic, don't get me wrong, but it's still very cool for being an in-client thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, for sure. I wonder if you'll be able to play it in queue or if it's going to be
don't be silly, man. Queue. They would never let us have fun like that. Colton and I were talking about that last night when we were playing Flex because we had a 9-minute queue and we're like, I wish we could anything in the entire League of Legends.
Yeah. Even just like mess around in the practice school.
Yes. Cool.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
So we'll get into the champion changes. Nefiri is coming out the 20th of July. So Thursday? Yeah,
Thursday. That's when the patch also lost. Not the patch. So the 2v2v2 mode. It doesn't come out till Thursday after.
Oh, okay. Well. Okay, I missed that piece in the notes. Cool. And Nefiri will be with it. I think like very, very quick like first impressions. I think the overall thought is that she is very, very bad early game and way too strong late game.
Yeah, I've seen the
especially
exact
for
same
how
thing.
Easy she is, right?
Yeah, she kind of is like better. Like obviously he's not an assassin, so comparing her to Yi isn't completely fair. But like the idea of Yi being this character that kind of chases you down, you can't really get away from him. She's like a stronger version of late game Yi. Like when you get to that point, which is a little scary, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially for someone who builds, I don't know, such high burst damage items.
Yeah, I'm excited, though. I'm excited that it's an non-human node character. First one in 4 years, which is a long time.
Yeah, it is a long time. And her design's really cool. It's I don't know. She's just like an actual like monster character, you know?
It's super sick.
Wait, she's not
she doesn't have like a sexy human form.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's not going to stand up and have a human form.
Do you see the rumors about the next character, Briar, who's like the, supposed
only
to be like
what
the,
you posted.
The vampire...
Hemomancer?
I can't remember what like class they're vampire jungler, that's what it is. Yeah. And everyone's like, that's cool, it's really cool. The art that they showed was like a Castlevania type castle. And the current rumor based on a leak, which isn't verified obviously, is that they're gonna be a fucking like lolly little girl. So we'll see. We'll see, man.
It's I can't say that, never mind. Can I say it and then you bleep it?
Yeah, sure.
It's really nice that Riot is letting
oh dude, it's fucking crazy, man. But hopefully they make her cool. Hopefully it's just like actually not the case, but
yeah we'll see.
Because dude, I was talking about that, I fucking was talking about it on the Discord. We're like we went to a friend of ours' wedding like a couple like almost a year ago at this point, right?
And
I was talking to someone at like dinner who used to play League, actually used to the whole thing was like, he was asking me like, oh, you play League, who do you play? And I was like, okay, well, it's a new character you haven't played since 2012, but it's called Tahm Kench. He's like this big like southern catfish and he like licks people and I was kind of not proud, obviously, because I play League of Legends, but I was like, oh, I feel good telling this person about this because he's kind of like a cool character. Whereas, could you imagine that conversation if I main Lilia? Okay, so she's like this little deer girl. She's like this little like sexualized deer girl, and that's who I play goes, all the time. Yeah, like, dude, I couldn't imagine, man.
Yeah, it would be a little challenging.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and I'd be able to tell them, like, I play a sick support character that's just like built out of armor in their flesh.
And I played this week, and then the week before I played a different
game. Yeah, and then the week before I played a pirate with huge tits and two guns.
I've been watching like Dom's co-stream of LEC a little bit, and anytime Rel unmounts, he calls it diaper Rel. It looks so funny.
Yeah.
Cool, let's talk about Aatrox. Key damage Aatrox. Increased, minion damage modifier increased. Buffs.
Yeah, nice. It's pretty big.
Diana, W shield strength increased, damage per orb increased, E magic damage increased. Trevor is going to be masters again.
It's pretty nice. I mean, definitely helps. Jungle Diana is just so much better than mid Diana right now, but it's still cool.
Yeah, she just has really bad matchups in mid.
Yeah. Hecarim finally getting some nerfs. His W bonus armor and magic resist is decreased, which is nice. I think the bigger issue is that when he goes full tank with Duskblade Chojin, full assassin, he just can 1v5. But yeah, who knows? Maybe the 5 armor will kill him.
Well, I think so. 10, I think this is the ability that you max last. I could be wrong. It might be a second max. But for a really long time, you're sitting on the first one, which gives you 15 armor and magic resist while it's active. Like, that's insane for an early game ability. So I do think it's going to be like pretty detrimental to his skirmishes, to lose, you know, 10 armor and magic resist.
For sure, yeah.
Probably still strong. Who cares? Cool. Jax, E cooldown increased, R mana cost increased. Very small changes, but nerfs nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Karthus, Q base damage decreased, damage to monsters increased, E mana restore decreased. So a little weaker in the bot lane, a little bit of compensation for jungle.
It's got to be a buff for jungle, right? Like, overall.
Yeah, okay, so like,
so it went from doing a little bit less to doing full damage to jungle camps.
This is a huge buff because his magic damage, like, to jungle, because his magic damage on Q, which is the ability he maxes first, went up by 2 at the harshest, like, rank.
Yeah, it's the biggest thing is it's a nerf for bottom for and bot mid lane, for, yeah, like, mana. The mana regen is, like, the bigger thing, but he also doesn't run out of mana in the jungle as hard. Especially when you, like, obviously clear towards blues, but I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's probably enough to kill him bot lane, though. He's still probably the best bot laner.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think the biggest problem with Karthus and, like, why he's so strong bottom is that you can go, like, 0-8 in lane and kind of like inting Sion, where it's like he's still going to get that whole wave. You're not really going to be able to push. And he's going to be a factor and have, like, most damage on his team, even if he started 0-8.
He just will always do a lot of damage, especially if he's able to hit isolated Qs. Like, obviously, that's kind of like a just dodge forehead. But, you know, a 90 damage spell, level 1 on a, 1.5 second cooldown, like, if that... That costs very little mana is, you know, very difficult to deal with in the bot lane early.
Yeah.
Kindred, base health increased, base armor increased, Q base damage decreased, cooldown is increased. So some nerfs for Kindred.
Well, my fucking ice girl, dude. Lissandra, passive quality of life change added. Q now slows all enemies hit. Did you see the post about that when it first got announced, the Q thing? Most Lissandra mains were like, oh, I didn't know her Q did slow everyone.
That's
her
so Q funny.
Only slows the first person hit, but now it slows everyone in the cone. Our heal is increased. The damage and slow application is also increased. So big Lissandra buffs all over. Honestly, the biggest thing is the passive, because her thralls would stop to, like, auto right as they went to explode. Now they don't stop. They just keep following until they explode, which is kind of huge.
That's sick, yeah. Mm-hmm. It does a lot of damage.
Yeah, they're sick.
Awesome. Oh. Hey, up next, the opposite of the ice witch, it's Melio, the fire guy. Passive burn damage decreased. E bonus movement speed decreased.
Poggers. Nerf this character out of existence. Nerfs. Rek'Sai, W unburrow base damage is decreased and E damage is decreased. I did not realize her unburrow had a damage ratio. I thought it was just an auto attack. That's funny.
Cool. Next is Rell, Golden Skirl. Base armor decreased, passive armor and magic resist, steel decreased. I feel like the steel isn't that important to her kit, but I guess the percentage... it's just the base armor is kind of, like, nice, like, level 1, but, like, early.
Yeah, I think it's... probably just enough to her jungle, but yeah, I mean, 3% armor and magic resist is nothing. I mean, if you have if you're stealing from someone who has 300, you get 9, right? So it's, yeah. I don't know, it's a nothing.
This is a very minimal change, right? She'll take a little bit more damage, but I do think she's still going to be tankier than comparable engaged supports. Right, like, and I think that's part of the issue is that, like, she has as much, if not more, CC than most of them, but is also, like, more mobile and tankier, right? Like, we were talking last week on the show about, like, Nefiri, and you have like the sliders for Assassin where it's like mobility, total damage, and difficulty. And it's like Rell got the engage support of like tools to get in, tankiness, just both all the way up. Yeah. So I very small change. I think she needs more nerfs than that.
Yeah.
Rengar, base health regen decreased by one. Q critical strike damage conversion decreased. So a bit less power for crit Rengar.
Yeah, we saw, I would say, a decent amount of questions regarding this change. So it's just nerfing his scaling with crit, like, percentage.
That's cool.
Yeah, Shaco, Q AD scaling is increased, back stab damage is increased, and bug fixes.
I'm more curious how this will affect his clear than anything, because I don't think it's crazy. Well, obviously, it doesn't affect AP Shaco almost at all, but, like, I don't think it's, like, too much to push him over the edge, like, normally, but I think it might speed up his clear a little bit. Like, that's kind of nice.
I don't know, because AP Shaco still benefits from backstab damage, right?
On jungle monsters. I mean, it's just you have less AD, obviously, so, like, it converts less, but that's cool.
Yeah, nice.
Next we've got
Shyvana.
Hell yeah.
Q AD scaling is increased. Attack speed increase added on the Q, so she gets an attack speed buff from it. Cooldown increased, and now E also scales with bonus AD.
Nice. AD Shyvana buffs, poggers. Eddie, you want to talk about your favorite character in the game?
Yeah, Volibear, because I think he's so strong and everyone thinks he's so weak. Volibear, his passive AP scaling is increased, his Q quality of life change, and W has a heal increase. The quality of life change is that removed a hit in Volibear's auto attacks after. Yeah, if you was like stunned, sometimes it would, like, you'd have like a weird delay after your auto. Garen has the same thing with his Q. Have you guys noticed that ever if you play Garen?
No.
Going auto Q is way faster than Q auto. Like, queuing with Garen, sometimes your auto attack is like a full second after your Q. Like, it's so weird. And I think it's the same thing with like Volibear. So I think it's like some sort of weird bug with like their abilities like chaining modifiers into a high attack speed, like auto attack after.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that on Garen, because like pre whip or like bammies, when you like, if you need to queue to get into range, trying to get a second auto before you E so you can proc phase rush is like impossible.
You could build Bammies and proc it that way.
Well, I'm saying like before you have that item.
You're welcome.
Fuck you, Nick.
Xerath.
Add Garen to your mid lane champs.
Xerath, base mana is decreased. The passive cooldown is increased. Now reduce cooldown upon killing a unit. And it procs with turrets. R number of casts increased, so he gets plus one. The damage is decreased, and it now deals additional damage with successive bolts upon hitting a champion. And I think it just applies bonus damage regardless of, like, it's not like you have to hit the same champion. I think it's just if you hit a champion, your next one is increased.
Cool.
I like that. Zyra, quality of life updates, plants will survive more hits from AoE spells. Plants will survive more ranged auto attacks. And they deal bonus damage to all monsters now.
It speeds up her clear a fair bit, by the way. Like, I was watching PvE stuff. Like, it's I don't like when they do shit like this,
man. No. Also, her plants will take less damage from AoE and more from ranged auto attacks.
Yeah, it's like the same thing with like,
it's okay,
you know, we're complaining about Belveth things where like
Yorick.
I think maybe it was Yorick. I can't remember. Colton and I were talking about it. Where like Belveth's ghouls or whatever. Like if you're AoEing them, they just feel like the tankiest things in the entire fucking game. And Zyra plants are gonna feel the same now because now it's gonna be three AoE things to kill.
Yeah, because we were watching Trevor play Aurelion Soul and he was like three items, like 250 stacks. And he was, like, queuing the ghouls for probably 3 seconds, and they took, like, a third of their health.
Yeah, it feels weird. It's, like, it feels like, obviously, it's intentional for some reason, because you want, like, certain things to just, like, nuke them. But, man, it feels bad in some scenarios.
Yeah, you just don't want them to die instantly to anything in the team fight, right? Because any AoE spell is going to be dealing an auto attack's worth of damage, like, at least. But it is a fine line, and this exists in, I think, literally every game with minions. Like, it has to feel good to use the minions, but also it has to feel good to not just get rolled by minions. Yeah. Because otherwise you get, like, Ivern, Daisy, or Ivern, Annie comps, right? Where you just point and click and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, it's tough.
Lots of also, item. Oh, sorry.
Just quickly. The biggest like change I honestly think out of all that stuff is the fact that she's now able to e-flash, which is fucking crazy.
Oh yeah, yeah. She can.
That's
big,
man.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Axiomark is getting some changes. It's going to scale with lethality versus just having a flat cooldown. So it's going to be better late game and a little bit worse early.
Next is Gale Force, getting its cooldown increased by 30 seconds. It's pretty big.
Infinity Edge is losing 5 AD, but the critical strike damage is going up 10%.
Hell yeah. Prowler's Claw is getting 3 lethality.
Cool. Randuin's is getting 5% extra critical strike damage reduction.
Shojin costs 100 gold less. Lucky. And gives you 50 more health.
I don't know why they're buffing that.
Is this item not insane?
Double swing.
It's just, so it's super like not, it's like super low build rate, mainly because it's so expensive, but like it's really good. It performs well on every character that builds it.
I also think it's just really hard to notice the effects because it doesn't like, it reduces your cooldowns, right? But it doesn't feel like a lot of it. I don't know how to describe it. It's just like a passive thing rather than, you know, something that actively feels good as an item. It's weird. Spirit Visage is up next. It's getting 10 more magic resist, which is pretty nice.
Cool. Next is Static Shiv. So the biggest thing is it's getting some attack speed increase, but it's losing some more minion damage. The biggest thing is that they don't want it to naturally just one hit like caster minions. So they made a change last patch to make it not one hit caster minions, but they kind of forgot that you can just buy minion DMAT, like sorry, take that in the runes, and then that would push you over the edge. So you'd always do it. So this is just to make it so even with minion DMAT, you can't just like one hit casters. They want it to increase your wave clear, but not do the wave clear for you.
Yeah, not be the sole source. Nice.
Yep.
Steryx, the cost is going down, the health is going up. This item is probably very strong as well.
Nice. Trinity Force, attack speed is down 2%. The attack damage per stack is going up to 6%, and the maximum stacks for the stacking passive is going from 5 down to 3. So with those combined, the total maximum AD that you can get from the item, before it used to be 20% at 5 stacks, it's going down now to 18% at 3 stacks.
Yeah, I think this is a like pretty sizable nerf for AD carries building it. And I think it's probably going to end up being a buff for bruisers building it.
It's a buff on the first 10 auto attacks, right?
Yeah.
For anyone, which obviously means like it's just like not a bad change. Like people are like overreacting for sure.
Yeah, and I mean totally understandable, you know, AD carry's getting a bruiser item nerfed, but I do think it's a non-issue.
No, I think it's like fine. I think it's good for bruisers, and I honestly don't even think it's that big of a nerf for AD carries either.
Yeah, I don't think so. Cool. Summoner spells, Ghost. Its duration is 15 seconds instead of 10, and it will no longer extend its duration by takedown.
I'm still sad we didn't get like range nerfs for it, but
yeah
I really liked the like extending Ghost. I do think the problem was so much more on ranged characters using it, but I think
it's fine. Like, Ghost is strong.
You just shouldn't be able to have Flash and Ghost.
That would also be fine with that. I think that would be a good way of doing with it. I just think that, like, the biggest, like, issue for me was the fact that, like, it just feels like AD carries get to kite perma in a fight, which makes their tools of Ghost. Like, Ghost obviously is a tool to get on someone for melee characters, and for AD carries, it's to perma stay in, like, max range, which I feel is, like, two completely different purposes. Range characters. I shouldn't just say AD carries. I'm not AD carry biased. I mean, I hate them, but...
yeah. I definitely agree with you where it's like, I feel like it is a very different vibe where it's like, a Jinx being able to stay at 600 range the entire fight versus, like, I'm maybe playing Swain and I'm just, like, trying to stay in range of you, and I need to have Rylai's anyway to even stand a chance at doing that. And I feel like they could have just, like, changed the extension to be, like, it's 10 seconds for everyone, and then, like, melee characters get plus 5 seconds on takedown, range gets, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah, I just don't even think it was the extension. Like, I don't think that was the problem. It was just, 80, like, range characters just getting to pop it and then move 45% faster.
Yeah.
For such a long time, too. 10 seconds is a really long time.
I am really interested to see how this balance change shakes out, to see, like, if we just, if Ghost is dead, do we still see it? If so, who? Do we see, like, a huge resurgence of something else?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool. Jungle buff adjustments. I don't know. You could take a look at it. I don't think there's too much important stuff going on.
Red buff, damage, slow, going down. Haste on blue buff scales throughout the game.
Yeah, some ARM adjustments, some themed clashes that will be happening. The Void? Oh. If your team can... Wait. If you... Oh, never mind. That was just a joke. I thought there was, like, legitimate... You know, if you can put 9 void champs on your... okay, cool. And they're reducing the frequency of clash, right? Once per month instead of twice per month?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit. They increased the rewards to be, like, to obviously reflect that. So it's a bigger deal. So be sure to play clash on June 22nd, June 23rd. Or July 22nd, July 23rd.
awesome. And then some mythic shop rotation... yeah, the data policy for arena augments, we've already talked about that. Bug fixes, and then the soul fighter skins, Set, Samira, Lux, Nefiri, Pike, Prestige Pike, and Star Guardian Senna, which just seems kind of weird tossed in here.
They're some of my favorite skin splash arts in the entire game. They're so
cool. Yeah, nice they looking. Look really, really good. Awesome. And then I think all of those have chromas, so... sweet. We've already talked about the rank split. Do we want to talk about that anymore?
Just that it's like, I guess, like, for those who don't know, there is 2 splits this season. Obviously the first one just ended today, or like it's last night, and the next one starts tomorrow. And the just we don't obviously know how it's actually going to work, but what they've said is that it's going to be a lighter reset. You only have to play 5 placement games rather than 10 if you got replaced last season. Obviously we don't actually know how that's going to fucking go.
And they removed the promo series.
And the, yeah, there's no promo series. That's the other big thing.
Mm-hmm. Big. No more losing your promos 8 times. Cool. Should we just jump into roundtable then?
I think that's it for the news. Just quickly spoil our account names for, like...
Oh, sure.
Because Colton added me and then I went and added him back. So Nick, obviously, I think you've talked about yours. Is this Danman93?
Danman93,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously based off our good friend of the show, Danman96. So Colton added me and his is Danman94, right? Which I think is fucking so funny. Mm-hmm. So I added Colton back and mine's A-Danman96.
Nice. I guess I need to add your account.
I really want to at some point, like, play Flex where it's Danman 90, yeah. Like 3, 94, 95, 96, 97. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just one team.
Yeah. It's funny.
Or like at least we could do like Danman 90, 3, 4, 6, and have a Danman 96.
That's so funny.
So fun.
Hell cool. Yeah.
Roundtable.
So last week's question was, Riot's bringing back Nexus splits and hires you to design new minigames, catch the emo settle or etc. to take place during the game. What do you come up with? Actually, we had some of the best, honestly, roundtable responses in like a long time. So please go read them on our Discord and on our Twitter. From our Twitter, Tyler said 5v5 snowball dodgeball. You get to throw a snowball every few seconds, and if it lands, that person's out. Only one team remains. That's super sick. That's awesome. Idea. Dragon Tamer said 10-player Scion keeps the character model racing around the map, gives a stacking buff to the team that can of the top 3 participants, top 3 from the same team equal 3 times the buff, 1 leading team, 2 from trailing equals 1 buff on the leading team, 2 on the trailing team. I like the idea of everyone just Scion racing around the map, but they're just like their regular character model. That's so funny.
That is really funny.
And then from our Discord, Pards Bay said, Nexus dive, all players are teleported into the middle map. The first team to have all five players run into the enemy Nexus wins. The losing team gets kill gold, assuming no executes. The winning team gets a big buff or whatever. Win-win. Yeah, that sounds fucking super
That's
sick.
That's awesome, actually.
Brandon said, jailbreak the premises for Fog of War is diminished significantly, and one of your teammates is in jail. The only thing to unlock the jailed person is find the enemy who holds that key, kill them, return the key to the jailed teammate. If you die, you drop the key. It has to be picked up by a teammate or an enemy. If the enemy picks it up, you have to kill said enemy. First team to unlock the jailed teammate wins the round. It's kind of like capture the flag.
Yeah, that sounds really, really fun for everyone except the jailed person.
Yeah, they just hang out, man. Cool. And then last but not least is from Casey Stranger, said brain swap. Your team transforms into the enemy team and vice versa. Items Whoa. And everything. And you have a 5-5. The enemy team with more the team with more kills after 30 seconds gets a bonus. That's great. I like that.
God,
I'm for
so
sure
much.
Recalling and selling all of my items.
So you would have to like not give warnings, so that's not possible. But I really like these last two. I think the capture the flag one, the way to make it like work is just to have the key holder on like the enemy team like be the one person who would be have been in the jail and just make it actual like NPC that you go pick up.
Yeah
that's a good idea.
And so like they're in the enemy territory like hiding and like trying to move around or whatever. As for the last one where you like swap things, the reason I love this so much is because I feel like every game of ARAM you have, or like every other, regardless of team comps, the team that loses says it's a comp diff. And I want so badly to just swap teams, roll them on their characters, and be like, skill diff.
That's
oh,
so
dude,
funny.
I'd love to run it back. If there's an ARAM run it back button where someone says like, comp diff, you run it back
so
with their characters
good.
And beat them. Oh.
Right, but yeah, no, they're just like complaining, like your champions are OP all game. And then it's just like, cool, we swap. I've got your items, I've got your character.
That's
Look, still
that's
lost.
Awesome. Nice.
Great idea, Casey.
Hell yeah. If you want to... this week's roundtable question is, what is a skin for a champion that you never get tired of using? Why?
I guess in honor of the game I played yesterday, High Noon Lucian. The skin feels
Skin's really good.
So good. Feels super good. The ultimate? Ooh, crispy.
Hell yeah. What about you, Colton?
I'm trying to think of like... one particular skin, because I've got like so many skins at this point and I'm play so many different characters. I don't know Ooh, if I have like
about it.
One skin. Mm-hmm. I guess actually probably Nunubot is
Nunubot's
probably
a, good yeah
is
that's
the
like
one,
the
yeah.
Colton skin,
because you just you Nunu's such a troll character anyway and it fits it really well.
Yeah
so that's I'll pick that one.
Nice. Aiden,
I think mine is like any of the old like winter game skins, like the really shitty ones
really
that are recolors, but they're just like five recolors in one. So it's like the Amumu one, the Anivia one, like those ones
Ice
are all
Ice
the great.
Bog and Corki.
Yeah, they're so good.
Curling Vygar. Nice. Yeah, that's awesome.
If you want to tell us what your favorite what is a skin for a champion that you never get tired of using and why, you can hit us up on our Twitter at LeakCast. You can send us an email, mail@leakcastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. That's discord.gg/leakcast.
Nice. We're going to move into mail fight. The first email is from Dragoon. Hey guys, it's Dragoon. I just wanted to ask if this is simply working because it's low elo, or could this be a thing? I haven't played it in ranked yet, but I've queued Zyra Jungle a handful of times. Running runes, Dark Harvest with Cheap Shot, Eyeball, and Ultimate Hunter in Primary Tree, Mana Flow Band in Transcendent Secondary. When I've played it, I'm able to be a menace once I've gotten Lost Chapter and Boots first back, if not sooner. Her clear is extremely healthy, and you can full first clear and get to scuttle as it comes up. Your W gets 100% cooldown refunded on large monster kills and 20% on for each time she kills an enemy, so you always have seeds. And with camps targeting plants over her, she hardly takes damage, and if you time it right, you can walk away from the camp while plants are still clearing it and start another. Her ganks work similar to any other jungler that relies on laning range CC to go in. The critical thinking comes in if you want to use your seeds with your initial E to keep the champ slowed, or your Q for damage as they run. I've been having a lot of fun with her and just wanted to know if this is something that's only working for other circumstantial reasons, or could it be a thing, Dragoon? Well, wouldn't you like to listen to the patch notes 20 minutes
ago? Yeah. So Zyra jungle has always been like this weird off meta thing. I wouldn't say it's popular by any means.
Mm-hmm. No.
That being said, there are people who play Zyra Jungle up to like master tier sort of thing. I was trying to find like an example of one, but I can't think of their name and I couldn't find them really quick. Oh, here's one. This person, CF Darkness YS. They're a master player, Zyra Jungle player on the Russian server. It's like there's a couple of them. I know I run into an NA guy who like is a jungle Zyra player, but I think he's like mid diamond. But yeah, her clear is like good. I would go to so one thing I always recommend to people whenever you're trying to jungle an off meta character, go to speedrun.com and go to the League of Legends tab and then go to jungle clear, and there's this Australian guy who has the world record jungle clear on every single character. That's awesome. In the game. And her current, I always use that as like, this is what the character's peak jungle clear could be. Obviously it could be optimized maybe a little bit more, but her jungle clear is 322, which isn't bad by any means.
It's pretty slow, but it's not bad for who she is.
Also, I want to do this event. I have this on my list of big events that I want to do for League Cast stuff. Is I think it'd be so cool if you have a day, like say it's a Saturday, and you get as many people who like you in the Discord as possible into a call, and every single person tries to break one of this guy's jungle clear records. So like you can play it on a character, like maybe your main character, because like Tom Kench's clear is like 340 or something like that by this guy, and I think he optimizes them really, really well because he's really fucking good at this. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think if we get like 50 people in a Discord call all like trying to break a record, I think one of us could do it, and I think it'd be so fucking fun.
I think it would be super sick if we all did it on the same character.
Yeah, that'd also be cool. But
like, we're all just trying to optimize every single one, you know?
Yeah.
The one cool thing is like that I think it's really cool that like all of us could be playing different characters that we're really, really good at, and like I don't know, I think that'd be so sick. I might try to put that together at some point. I think
that'd be a pretty easy thing too versus what you've been setting up lately.
Yeah, just hey, come hang out, look up this guy's record and then try to beat it.
Cool. Good luck, Dragoon.
Awesome. Next email from Oklahoman. Hey, LeagueCast host and listeners, it's your boy Oklahoman here. Just wanted to come in and dote on how great our community members are at the game in general. They're all really chill people, and we're all out there trying to learn everything we can each day and having a blast with it. Everyone decided to get together on the last day of the rank split and spam some flex games kind of spontaneously, and with just the games that I joined for, we went on an 8 or 9 game win streak, breaking me from gold 4 in flex to plat 4 in a matter of hours. I'm not sure if flex give any other cool rewards that differ from solo duo, but either way, it was a good day for everyone. Some guys I'd like to mention are The Pinch, who achieved gold 4 in flex for the first time with our group, Zill, who skipped to platinum 2 after a couple wins, and Brybump, who played off role the entire time for us and held his ground even while having some internet issues in the end. There's many others that stepped in and out of the games as well as the day went on, but we all flexed on some people in flex, if I do say so myself. This was all flex queue, which can be kind of a joke, but it's still cool to see what we could do in just one afternoon. I feel like everybody slowly got better at the game over this last season split, and it's exciting to watch everyone and climb along with them. I'm equally excited to see how this mentor student program goes for our community in the next months, and I wish everyone good luck in the upcoming split. That's all. See you guys around and keep up the great work that you do for the community. Aiden, you're the man.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Aiden.
I also want to quickly say that people shouldn't feel bad about like flex queue as an achievement either. I also want to also say that like mid elo flex queue is still not like it's obviously lower quality, but like the issue with flex queue at like higher elos is that there's so few players, right? Obviously in solo queue you have so few players, the higher up you go, flex queue is even lower. At least for flex queue and mid elo, like silver, gold, plat sort of thing, at least there's more of a player base there, so it's like a little bit more representative, even though people can obviously be off rolling, maybe not trying as much, maybe it's more of a fun queue. But no matter what, just feel good about your accomplishments, like even if like it is in a queue maybe that's less popular, it's still cool.
I mean, yeah, it's still a ranked mode, you know, people do get rewarded for winning and punished for losing, so yeah, good job.
Yeah, feel good about it.
Yeah awesome, thank you, Oklahoman. Our last email is going to be from Stove. Hello there, LeagueCast. Stove here. After hearing Aiden talk about off-meta bot lanes last week, I wanted to chip in and remind people about Season 8, the post-Arden Censor season. The season where AD carries weren't the go-to for bot lane and bruisers/mages were swapped in for the damage. I'd love to see a change like this again, but sadly AD carry, quote, mains, from my personal experience, are usually the most verbal about negative changes to their role. For Roundtable, you could take a lot of the run of events that were in Kirby's Air Ride City trial mode. I'd personally love to see the fake items event where items in areas had negative effects on the player. For example, the bushes could be more swamp colored and will slow you as you walk through, or the blast cone can give a micro stun instead of blasting you away. There would be a change in music and a big counter on screen to remind players that something is whack on the map. I will apologize if this comes in too late and for the length of this email. Wishing you all the best, fellow top enjoyer Stove. Top lane main complaining about AD carries.
It's our job. What else is surprising? It's literally our job.
Yeah. I don't know. I do, like, on one hand, I understand, like, bot lane overall goes through very little, like, significant meta changes. But I do think it's probably the role, like, with the exception of the past competitive year, which has been just scarred with Jinx, Zeri, probably suffers from the most, like, you can't just play the character that you like. You have to play what's meta, or you're just immediately putting yourself at a disadvantage. I don't know, if you're an Aphelios main, there was a long time where you weren't eating good. But if you were, like, a Jax main, you know, he's been decent for a really long time, and now he's strong. But I don't know. I think, like, I have some sympathy in my heart for AD carry players, overall. How do you guys feel about that?
I was gonna say I wanted to talk about Kirby's Air Ride, but we can talk about AD carries. Yeah.
That's okay. I do not know what else Kirby Air Ride is about other than City Trial Mode. That's the only thing I know about it.
I have like 300 hours in City Trial, man. That's like one of my favorite GameCube games of all time. The rest of it's like, it's kind of just like a shitty kart racer the rest of the game.
Okay.
The main mode is like a car. I mean, it's a fine kart racer. It's not shitty. People flame me if someone actually likes that game. But City Trial is so fucking good. I have no reason why that game, like, with Dolphin emulation, isn't more popular as like a goofy game that like streamers and stuff play. Like, it's perfect. It's like a 10-minute thing where you just go around. Like, I'm not sure if either of you ever played it. You just fuck around on the map for like 10 minutes, like powering up, finding new cars, doing a random events and stuff, and then it's like a final like mini game that's like, it's so fucking sick. It's actually just like perfect. I'm surprised that it's like not like hasn't seen a resurgence or anything.
Yeah, it's really funny because I've played Kirby the City Trial, and the only thing I know about it is, like, it's not fun to play with people who know what they're doing, because then they just fucking roll you and like get the good cart, and then they've won, you know, while you're struggling to get around the map.
I'm sure it can be min-max super hard, but yeah, like, it's super, but it's a fun, fucking sick.
It's definitely a fun, like, casual thing for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's it.
I want to comment on back to the content of the email that wasn't.
What do you think about Kirby's Air Ride, though?
I've never played it. I don't have any comments.
Cool.
I do think that, like, in season 8, we saw people like start playing more mages and bruisers, and I think that, like Aiden was saying, they're still fine. They're still very good in the role. And we don't really need changes in balance. We just need a change in the attitude of the players to be willing to try them. Like, we don't need to nerf items. We don't need to nerf AD carries. Like, you can play those things bottom now, and you can stomp standard AD carries just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. That's all. Thank you, Stove. And we actually have one more email. I got in last minute, and it's a little long, but I think we have time for it.
It's been in for a while. Next, just didn't want to do it, but now we're doing it.
Yeah. I didn't want to do it because I thought we had more of the previous show, and I thought it was going to take longer. But we'll go ahead and do it.
Yo, boys, Aiden here yet again. I appreciate the talk last week. I can definitely see now the theory around solo queue being a good fit for the player base. The one odd thing I have never thought about much personally is that there's a duo feature added on. Personally, I never use this feature anymore because it always seems to mess up my plus or minus, so I really hope Riot fixes that. I know you guys are higher elo now, so you probably forget about this sad piss low feature of a duo messing up your gains. I'm wondering if you guys experienced messed up gains from duo queue as well. Could you answer this now? The rest of the email is not questions. I mean, it's going to depend on the rank of your duo partner, but your LP gains should be pretty comparable between them.
No? Yeah, I don't really, I guess, like, I've only duoed with people, like, close enough rank to me that it doesn't really affect it. Because in, at least Diamond Plus, right, you can only duo plus or minus two divisions, like, rather than plus or minus one whole tier. I don't know. Is that something that happens?
I don't know. I mean, I've definitely experienced, like, feeling like game quality goes down when you duo, but I've not had the, like, LP gains and losses feel really out of whack.
Yeah, I mean, so I overall, it is it is more detrimental to your climb to play with someone else, I think, than it is to solo queue. But I think, like, it really depends on the person you're playing with. But like, generally speaking, it's worse for you. I don't know. I'm okay with it. It makes solo queue a little bit less unmanageable. So I hope it stays, and I hope it gets extended.
Mm-hmm. So for the rest of the email, instead of asking a ton of things this week, I figured I could chime in on something I briefly mentioned in my last email, toxicity in League. I've wanted to talk about this for a long time since I started to listen to the show, as it has always been an infamous topic, especially for this game. For some context, I started playing League in 2020, and up until then, I constantly played Overwatch. Once I found League, I quickly stopped playing Overwatch and switched to just League. It's also where I got my very cool name, Funky Pants OW, as Funky Pants was randomly generated name in Overwatch, and I slapped the OW on there, which stands for Overwatch, because I'm super cool. Since I immediately came from a team game with comms, and a very, very different flow of the game, I was able to see the glaring differences, frustrations, and places where League was more fun or less fun. To get started off, I think a few of the mechanics in League are individually frustrating, and that lead to toxicity. I'm sure there are more, but here's a few. You're doing bad, but the rest of your team is doing good, giving you low impact on the game, and people are going to flame you. You're playing an early game character and lose early. You know you won't scale anyways and have a massively decreased chance to win. Hyperscaler on the enemy team gets some very early lucky kills. This is the same thing where your odds to win are just super decreased. Doing good in your lane, but your other four teammates lost, so you have to throw away your potential great game. Being a scaling champion, but your team does bad early, so you lose before you have a chance to impact the game at all. Kills or resources being stolen, as there's only a finite amount. Getting hard counterpicked, especially in top lane. And games being long as fuck, especially when you're doing poorly or don't scale. All of these examples make me feel like I just wasted 25 minutes to an hour of my life. Of course, on the flip side, we all have those godlike games that can be long and close, and that we are impacting the whole time. We love to constantly play to chase these dream-like scenarios. It makes League the pinnacle of high highs and low lows of all video games. I would argue in a large majority of League games, not everyone has fun, and not even everyone on the winning team has fun. The only way all 10 can have fun is everything being even all game, and how often does that happen? With this dynamic and the games being so long, it can really feel like a lot of waste of time, especially if you string together some bad games. In contrast, Overwatch has all these examples diminished or non-existent. In case anyone's unfamiliar with the game, there's really only team fighting, so one bad teammate out of six isn't as impactful. Also, there's only a little bit of snowballing in Overwatch. Your ultimate is charged up based on damage and healing, so winning a team fight will get you ultimates quicker than the losing team. Even though this is the case, there's no items and such, so if everyone in the game has their ultimate or everyone doesn't, both teams are theoretically equal in strength. This allows a losing team a chance to get even on ground or hold their ultimates until they are able to have an advantage, even if the score is 99-0. Mechanics like this always gave me a great mental at any point in the game. Unlike League, you can lose the first fight and just try again. In League, losing the first fight in lane or the enemy getting first blood on you feels like the game can be over instantly. Obviously, I chose League over Overwatch for a reason, and I think on average, it is more fun, and that experiencing those highs of a good game feels awesome. My whole conclusion to this email is, I'm not surprised that League players are super toxic, especially more so than in other games. I did not experience nearly as much toxicity in Overwatch, but due to the nature of the games, I expected it. This doesn't mean that people have an excuse to pull the crap they do in game, but I never expect anything to change unless they change the actual mechanics of the game. Let me know what you guys think, and I hope you have a good week. Funky Pants.
Yeah, I think it was a good email. I guess the only thing that I wanted to mention is, like, it's kind of just agreeing with you. Not really much to say on it, is that, like, I think it's a pretty common discussion point, is that League, unlike most games, whether other video games or like sports even, you develop advantages that are sometimes like unsurmountable. Obviously with like kills, items, gold, all that shit. Compared to like, say, like, look at video games, like obviously Overwatch at like, any point, like obviously the advantage states that you can be in is like alt economy. Like if you're winning, you can hold your alts much easier than if you're losing. But overall it's something that's like overcomable, right? You can hold your alt until your team has the alts, and then you're at an equal playing field again, even if you're like getting stomped, right? CSGO, Valorant, right? Like obviously the advantage and disadvantage state is that when you're losing a bunch, your economy is fucked because you're buying more guns, but that being said, you can save for one or two rounds that are losses, and then you're at an equal point for a round again, right? Whereas League, obviously if you're just getting stomped, you're never at an equal gold point, except for when you get bounties, which I think is crazy why people like hate bounties so much, because this is the only equalizing method in this video game. Otherwise, like, it actually is unsurmountable, right? Bounties are the comeback condition in League of Legends. I wouldn't say they're the best implemented thing, but I think that just comes with the genre. Like, the genre just is a game that doesn't have comebacks, like, even compared to sports. Like, fucking, if you're down, like, two goals in soccer, it's not like the enemy team gets just better equipment. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's just, most games don't function like that. And League is one of the few that does. And it definitely has its pain points.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think the overall, like, I don't know, the overall format of League is the reason that it's as long lasting as it is. Like you said, the highs feel really high, and I don't know. I like the highs feel, or the lows feel pretty low, but I don't know. I don't think they're like absolutely crazy bad. But I don't know. I think there's just like way more depth and complexity to League than there are to, I would say most of its competitors that have existed across its lifetime.
I think there's also, like you mentioned, with that complexity, it's very easy to quickly blame something, and there's so many more things to blame it on. Mm-hmm. So let's say I was like playing Overwatch, right? I can blame it on the character or the map. Like, I died because Torbjörn's too strong, or like I died because Lucio's too strong.
I died because there's one like choke point on this map that we have to fight through.
Right. Yeah. So like that's a very small pool. Like we go to Valorant. It's like, okay, I can complain about your character. I can also complain about maybe what gun you're using, but still there's only like 20 guns and like 20, 30 characters. Mm-hmm. And most of those are not even really like used, whereas you're probably in a competitive environment facing like only 10 guns and maybe half the characters. Versus League, you're like, man, Aatrox is OP. Next game, fuck it, Fiora's OP. Next game, ah, man, I hate Wukong. Sunder is way too strong, right? Like, you can go to so many other things, and I think that makes people just immediately like flip on that switch of wanting to complain and be negative about the game. Instead of, I feel like, in especially shooters, most of the time, like, you can be maybe a little bit upset about, like, oh, I feel like I hit them there, and, like, was it lagging? Was, like, the hitbox fucked? But more often than not, when something goes wrong, you're like, yeah, he clicked me in the head, and I didn't click him in the head.
Mm-hmm. And that's, like, we're definitely, like, simplifying it. There's a lot of complexity in shooters, too. That's why CSGO has existed, for that long. But, yeah. Thanks, Funky Pants. Do you guys have anything else to add?
I had something, but I lost it, man.
You want to tell me what your favorite event in Kirby Air Ride is, City Trial?
Like the random events.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably like when the fucking big ass bird comes and has like the big egg that you have to crack. Remember? You remember that cool. thing?
Yeah, vaguely. I've probably played like maybe 20 rounds of it.
I've played like actually like 300 20, hours. 000, yeah, it's crazy.
That's so funny. That'll be our way to keep you in mail fight. We'll just toss in some Kirby Air Ride every once in a while.
Dude, I think it'd be so sick if like we had like a community night like where people played night. Kirby Air Ride. Also, I don't want to encourage our listeners to drink, but I was like, fuck, I want to have like a drunk game night or whatever. But here's the issue. You know what's my favorite drinking game of all time? No one wants to play it, man. Everyone hates it, and I don't know why. Is what? Mario Party, but you don't play Mario Party. You just let the CPUs play Mario Party, and you drink based on what happens. And no one wants to play it, dude. It's my favorite drinking game ever. Is like just like if your CPU lands on a red, you take a drink. If you like lose a star, you have to like finish. Like,
no,
like,
I'm dude, super down for that. That sounds so
dude.
Fun.
It's so much. It's my favorite drinking game of all time, and no one wants to do it ever.
That sounds so funny.
Hell you just yeah. fucking champion Luigi. Like I was champion Luigi. He's my guy, and then he does it for me.
Nice. All right, that'll do it for this episode of LeeCast. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to send us an email, it's mail@leecastpodcast.com. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLardOut, BlueBasket, and LeeCastFrost. On Twitter, we're at LeeCast. On Facebook, we're at LeeCast. Visit our website, leecastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeeCast. Play with our friends. Play with your new friends. Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeeCast. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.